This is the order of battle!
Thanks for joining the Order of Battle podcast for another episode. Joel, Jason, and Sometimes A discuss collecting G.I. Joe, other 1/18 scale action figures, and in general, what sparks joy. It's a lot of things, but almost always toys. This is the Order of Battle podcast.
So, Jason, I think Roger saw a picture, but I've moved my collection, and now it's all in this room.
Excellent.
All a little bit more organized, and now I got a backdrop for podcasts and things.
I like all the drawer boxes.
After having been with them now for quite a few years, I don't think I could ever go back to the other kind. It's just so much more convenient to be able to pull them out.
I have 5 of the long box drawer boxes, but I can't find that they sell those anymore. I think they just moved over to short boxes. Probably for stability.
Yeah, well, modern comics are so much heavier than vintage comics. That's part of the reason.
Even though it's fewer pages.
It's that thicker paper.
You know, the difference is in the boxes, just from IDW to Marvel. Because like I said, I just actually moved them all around. Got them all reorganized. Jason, this is my California place now. You know, I was in Moab for a long time. So this is going to be After Action Report headquarters. I got my place all set up over here to receive thousands of books.
Perfect. I really haven't talked to you guys since the new year. So, I mean, other than us, you and me, Roger, just kind of going back and forth about how I procrastinate and I don't schedule well.
That's okay, man.
And Josh, I mean, you've moved back to California. Like, what the hell?
I know.
I never left California.
Well, I guess the appropriate question is, did you shut down Moab or do you still maintain a residence there too?
I have my house for sale, you know, because our business is based there. I still have an address, a mailing box and all that stuff, but basically I'll be out of Moab. It's just way too far away. I mean, it was wonderful and beautiful, but like to be able to do what I can do here in California, I couldn't do it in Moab. And I want to spend my life being an author. I'm not so tied into the desert and being out and about and everything. And I was just an Uber driver. So yeah, it was just time to move. And, you know, ultimately when you have like 5,000 books, it's a serious space thing. And, you know, I mean, dealing with shipping and all that stuff. So I basically just made the commitment because Roger, you know, lost the business in for the first couple of years of After Action Report, everything was stored at his business.
Right.
And he doesn't have space anymore, and I didn't have space, and Moab is too far away. In fact, it even cost an extra $1 on the to mail it from Moab.
Yeah. You make that up in a year.
Yeah.
An extra $1 is easy when you're sending out one thing, but when you're sending out as many books as you guys are, $1 adds up fast.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize it was that much more expensive just to mail from the desert.
Yeah, because it's so far away.
It's excess.
It's an hour away from Grand Junction, which is the main city. And of course, it's like 5 to 6 hours from any other major city, Denver, Salt Lake, or Vegas.
At this point, you guys need a partner in Washington State and in Maine so that you can have all four corners.
Yes. Well, and luckily we have Greg, the Command Files author, up in San Francisco. So he's going to get books and try to attend some conventions up there. And we do have some books in Chicago. At Sam Wells's toy shop, when we went there, we sent a bunch there. Yeah, we definitely need the Northwest.
Well, how are you doing, Roger? Like, have you publicly talked about your health lately? Is everything good? Are you still in the shit?
I'm just sort of in a steady, you know, not much changing. Just came back from the eye doctor. I've got 2 eye doctors right now. One does the front of the eye, one does the back of the eye, because there were 2 different problems.
Lovely.
Both of them are pretty happy right now. The back of the eye is healed up enough that she doesn't want to see me for 3 months. And the front of the eye, he just told me, well, this is the first time he gave me 2 weeks instead of 1 week between appointments. He said it's getting there, but it's not quite there yet.
So you've been seeing an eye doctor weekly for almost a year.
on and off. Yeah, there was a 6-month period where the doctor said, okay, you should be good. Come back in 6 months. He came back and he went, oh, crap, you're worse. Okay.
Okay, lovely. It was around April-ish last year, or has it been 2 years?
Close to 2 years, yeah.
Okay.
It was May of, 21?
So that's close to 3 years then.
No, I guess it was 22. Yeah, 22.
But still, a 2-year recovery, that's crazy.
All the other stuff is just going to be permanent. You know, I've got the diabetes that wears me down, and I've got the neuropathy that I can sometimes not walk real well and sometimes not get my balance real well. Sometimes I'm fine. You know, I can go through a whole day without any problem, but the last few days have been pretty busy, so I've been kind of worn out.
Well, that just means that at Joe Fest, you might need to rest more, or we need to pay attention when you're walking down long hallways.
Yes. If I start to veer a little bit, yeah, help me out.
Hey, fair enough.
I can take stairs better now, though.
That's good, because there's a lot of stairs that on and off the floor there at Joe Fest.
Exactly.
And coming up and down the lobby.
So I do like the fact that they have an elevator there.
Well, this is cool that we get to sit down again. And, you know, we're sitting down because you guys have been talking to everybody about book five.
Is that right? Five?
Technically, it's the fifth original book. It's the sixth.
So I'd say book five. But yeah, your sixth Kickstarter, because one was a reprint of volume one.
It was a really small Kickstarter and just enough to cover the cost of reprinting that because we had so many errors in there.
Well, it was your first book. And when you talk to any of the authors, they'll all tell you that nothing is perfect. There's always going to be errors.
Yeah.
One of the things I noticed that Carson did was set up a group that said, hey, if you catch the errors, just send them to me because I know they're going to exist. You not as many as you would think, more than you hope for. And I'm sure you guys are in that same boat, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I've been thinking about doing the same thing and starting a group for that specifically. Figured start it up around the time these books actually get in hand.
Yeah. I think that's kind of the fun thing is, even with some errors, because they're bound to happen, you know, you're still 90% or better accurate, and people have really been able to use your guides to learn about and find a lot of cool stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. And like 90% of the errors were just typos. So it wasn't like it was errors. It was just not as good as it could have.
Sure. And a typo, I mean, typos happen. But, you know, and then for folks like me, it's a bit of a stressful threat.
That was the intention.
Which we've talked about many, many times.
The rabbit hole. We create the rabbit hole.
But how many boxes do you have at the moment?
Oh, I think it's over 65.
And that's just G.I. Joe.
Well, Action Force. Yeah, but G.I. Joe related.
The G.I. Joe family of books. Because I know you have more with other things. I know you collect more than just G.I. Joe, but the G.I. Joe family of books is what our community is about.
It's interesting for the number 21 book. I've had to buy up the different creators. They all have some really amazing comics that I had never read before. So I bought them like Green Arrows and, you know, other Marvel comics. And I bought these homage covers that you know, I was always like, whatever, you know, I mean, and there's some actually really cool stories that I've been enjoying reading. So I'm kind of branching out a little bit, just a little bit.
But you're using the G.I. Joe family of creators to branch into other brands and titles.
Especially the number 21 guys. Like, they went on and did some amazing stuff. I mean, like, you know, Dark Knight Rises and Master Race Knight and, you know, Denny O'Neill with Batman's and everything. And, you know, I mean, Klaus Janson with Fables. I bought a trade paper like that. And I was like, this is a pretty cool story, actually. Just, I don't know if you ever read that.
Fables was a Willingham, yeah. It was all the fairy tales come to life. I think it's fun that you've been using that as your branch out.
Yeah. And, you know, like, I've heard of all these things, a lot of these things, but I never read them. So now I'm reading.
And it's funny because, you know, I just sat down with Phil and Pat. What a wonderful pair of people. And, you know, I've been very honored to have Pat as a friend for years, and to get to know Phil better is fantastic. Then I come over here and talk to you guys, and it's like the Yo-Jo experience continues for me.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so this is a great extension, like, of using Yo-Jo or using whatever comic book wiki but I have it on my bookshelf. Actually, I have several copies of your guys' books on my bookshelf. I'm kind of a nut that way where I need more than one reference guide. So, of course, that also meant I had to get your guys' second printing of Volume 1, even though, legitimately, I didn't need it. But, of course, I needed it, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, and then when I see you guys in Iowa and you have all of the prototype books out and all the goodies out, and it's fun to see you guys grow. It's, and then to do this where we're just catching up, right?
Yeah.
Like, yes, you guys have a new book. The Kickstarter ends in just a couple days, but it is funded. So everybody from this point forward, just they don't have to wonder if it's going to fund. They have the benefit of it's a pre-order now. They know it's going to come. You guys have delivered. You know, the three books that you haven't delivered yet are, they're on the way, right?
The big reveal is that they're on a boat. It has taken a very long time. We've had many, many challenges and difficulties over the last 8 months, basically. Everything took a lot longer to get done. You know, without going into all the details, it's just basically something that could take a day took like 3 weeks to get done.
That sounds like my normal life. I mean, why would I complain that a project did that when like that's my day to day.
In the process of getting printed, we had to switch printers and the new printer. And of course, they're Chinese, so the translation takes forever. And you send it on Thursday, they don't get back to you till Tuesday, and then it's a question about something that you don't even expect, and then you got to start all over again. So,
as energetic as Josh is, I'm surprised he hasn't learned Chinese yet.
Yeah.
How's your Mandarin, sir?
I'm fluent now. No. And another thing was is that we were kind of like we had the middle. We weren't the people dealing directly with China. We had a middle person. And that's where the time just would slip away, like a whole month would disappear. So right now, the projected date is between the 8th and the 10th of it arriving in port over here in Los Angeles, where I'm at.
And then they just got to get through customs.
It's got to get through customs, which, of course, Volume 2 took 3 months to get through customs. So hopefully it'll be much smoother this time. And that's just another reason why, in order to... to have the books mailed to Moab, it was a whole nother extra 2 days and a little extra more in cost to have all these, it's basically 2 tons worth of books. That's why another reason why I moved back here to Los Angeles and got an apartment that's after Action Report headquarters.
I've had 1 ton of books shipped from Seattle to Nashville. I used a personal connection and it still wasn't cheap. So I can't imagine 2 tons of shipping as a business without, without a personal connection, without a friend price.
You're the freight company, basically.
Yeah, that's got to be wild.
I mean, FedEx and UPS can do it, but the freight companies at that point with that kind of volume are cheaper.
2 tons of book, that's 2 to 4 pallets, which is not a full truck. So then you have your partial load fees and everything else. It's moving the headquarters away from Florida in the summer of 2022 to Moab and now Moab to LA. It just makes sense from a cost perspective and a time perspective. So that's awesome. You were showing me your new setup, which that's functional. It looks great. And once everything's in hand, then it's just bang, bang, bang out the door.
So right now the schedule for, and again, this revolves around Volume 3, Command Files Volume 1, and the second printing of Volume 1, as well as all those little goodies that we had. Roger wrote one's called The Spy Balloon.
Joe versus the Spy Balloon, yeah.
Agent's hilarious. It's really awesome. So that'll be included with a lot of stuff.
Spy Balloons were topical when we wrote it.
They were.
It's really funny, though. It's really funny. And so all that stuff is arriving also.
That's incredible.
Jamie Sullivan did a dust jacket. Will come on the Command Files book, I believe.
Oh, wow. So you have Jamie Sullivan partnering with Greg's book. That's cool.
Yeah.
I think that was one of the stretch goals.
Yeah.
It's been a year now, really. Can you believe it? Actually, it's been a year since we were shut down, basically.
This is also where I'm a bad host, because when it comes to Kickstarters, kind of the same thing as I told Brian Hickey, like, I don't really read your Kickstarter. I just back it immediately because I trust your level of work and I trust your delivery. And so I forget about things like the stretch goals, because I'm like, well, I'm going to get those anyways, because I'm not I'm not going to pause. I'm going to back it and then be good. I'm weird about that, but I also, it's mainly just because like I trust the process and I trust the creators. So I don't give a shit about if it takes me a week or a year, it's coming and I'm good.
Yeah, and I think that's the way you have to approach Kickstarters. You know, you order and forget, basically.
Kickstarter is just pre-order these days. So it's the same thing if I pre-order from Hasbro or from Mezco or from Barnes & Noble or Barnum, you know, like it's a pre-order. Kickstarter is just a pre-order for people that don't have corporate capital.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just this last 2 weeks, I got some Kickstarter books. I got Jim Marshall's Blood for the Baron. It was like, I don't know, I got a whole bunch of those things. And then I got the Paltoy story, and then I got this Wish book. I don't even know when I backed those. You know, but they all arrived at the same time, and I was like, oh my God.
I got Paltoy and Wish on the same day as well.
Same day.
Yeah.
I had ran into the Wish guys in August at PowerCon in Ohio and had a chance to talk to them. I think they're under the Blue Milk banner.
They are.
You know, Daryl DePriest's modern Star Wars architecture figures, his 4-inch Star Wars book was under the Blue Milk, which was the first time I had heard about them. And, you know, it's Daryl DePriest. He is bathed in the blood, one of us.
Absolutely, yeah.
Used to be the leader of us for a time, you know. So, of course, I had to back that book. So when Wish came out, I was already on their mailing list. I flipped through the book when I first got it, and I go, I don't collect a single thing in this book. I'm going to read every page.
Yeah, I've already read through it.
But I know about a decade ago, I helped start a toy museum in Austin, and we had those toys there, and I never really paid attention to them. So I was like, oh, I remember seeing those. You know what I mean? So now I'm reading about them. I'm like, oh, yeah. But they weren't mine. They were the museums and a guy named Caleb, who was a massive collector, who that museum turned in. But like those books are, you know, amazing. I mean, you know, I think that's what's so awesome about like our generation, like, you know what I mean? And you look at how many G.I. Joe books are between Dan Kay's and Carson's books and, you know, Kavanaugh's books. And I mean, there's got to be at least 50 books now on just on the G.I. Joe from everything. And then, you know, these other Generation X people are making books in other group. It's kind of like, well, now that we can do this, we got enough, you know, maybe money and a little bit more free time than we used to have. And, you know, it's like, okay, what do I want to do? I don't want to run for president. I want to make a book.
And I think when we were growing up, the people making them were like the companies, you know, like Marvel would put out a Marvel book and Hasbro might sponsor a Hasbro book if they did it at all. And now it's more like, oh, nobody's doing it. We've got to do it ourselves.
Yeah. And we can't.
We're making the things we want on our shelves, or at least you guys are making the things you want on your shelves, and I'm buying them. But
but you run a podcast that helps all these groups. I mean, I don't know how many. You've had almost all these people on your podcast. So
absolutely.
Like you said, we get to shoot the shit together and we have fun.
We all have parts of our hobby, the brand, whatever you want to say. Like we all have parts where we're 100% enthused and optimistic and almost vibrating with joy. And then we also have parts where we're like, I don't give a shit about that, or I absolutely don't like that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not immune to that, no more than anybody else, but I've found that for me, I just want to talk about the things I love. If I don't like it, I'll just be silent about it. I don't care. I can't change it, right? It's owned by Hasbro. It's in the world, or it's coming, or whatever. I don't get a say, so I'm just quiet about it. But when I love something, and like your guys' books are a part of that, I want to talk about it all the time and also remind people that you have a book coming and you have another book coming and another book. And ultimately, whatever books you're seeing are like half the books that are coming, because you guys are a fount of ideas and ambition when it comes to being just archivists, you know, the same as Pat and Phil, the same as Brian and Patty, the same as Dan Kay, the same as Carson. Kavanaugh is in that group. There's so many of you guys that have been doing the archivist work for so long that you've learned the websites, you've learned the community, you've learned the forums and money orders, moving to PayPal, and now you're learning and running and providing paper.
In 2023, we made the business official. I mean, the first couple of years, it was just like us being like, whatever. But now we have like an actual LLC.
Excellent.
I mean, all that kind of formalized stuff that you got to have. And, you know, then you can get a deal with taxes and you can get barcodes and UPC codes and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it's just like, you know, that's what a book requires. You know, you want to sell it, you know, they got to scan it. And that was actually one of the main reasons why we did the second printing of Volume 1 is because the first one doesn't have a barcode on it.
Your first couple books were children out of wedlock, and now you guys have an LLC marriage, and all your children are now legitimate with barcodes.
Exactly. But you know what the funny thing was that for Volume 1, we now call the first printing that came out in 2020 the direct market version.
There you go.
Because it doesn't have a UPC. And then the new one is the newsstand version.
You comic book nerds.
We couldn't pass it up.
Of course.
Because it was the whole point. You know what I mean? Really?
You're going to have to send out little black Spidey face stickers for us to put just in the...
That would be awesome.
Black Snake Eyes face stickers.
Yeah. Right in the bottom corner.
Can do that when we're sending out the Volume 2 ones or the reprint, the second printing. Yeah. Oh, that's a good idea. Roger, you could work that logo up.
Not hard.
Which is funny because you guys do throw a lot of weird stuff. I don't know what you want to call it.
Merchandise. Promo.
I use your guys' metal bookmarks. But, you know, so like we have, you know, your ash cans and your flyers, and you guys throw a lot of fun things in the bag when people purchase from you.
Yeah.
If I start seeing stickers, I'm not going to be surprised at all. And those will get moved over into my sticker collections for future use.
We are doing a new dog tag because we're almost out of the other ones. Okay. So we're like, let's do a number 21. So we haven't announced that design yet, but it's just going to be the logo on the tag.
We'll see it at Joe Fest, I'm sure, or when they show up in the mail. But speaking of issue 21, your first volume had a write-up, kind of the hunt for 21. You guys were on forums for years talking about the second printing of 21. You had a Facebook group dedicated to trying to find it. I thought I remember somebody did find one or something. There was at the time, there was a satisfying conclusion. But from that point to now, you guys have learned even more. And Roger went to bed one night and Josh got bored. And now we have this second book just all about issue 21.
Kind of, yeah.
According to a couple different sources, they say that February 28th is actually the anniversary of number 21 arriving. But according to Marvel Age, it came out in December of 83. But anyway, we're still in that 40 years. That book, I mean, G.I. Joe is now 42, and or a real American hero is 42 years old, but G.I. Joe is 60 years old, and so this book is 40 years old. So that was very much the timing on purpose of what we're doing.
Well, that's kind of fun.
As I think everybody's realized, that book is a very, very important comic book in the history of comics. It's G.I. Joe, so it kind of falls outside of this whole, like, Marvel DC or some kind of independent image thing or... You know, some of those are really valuable, but it was a toy property. And it's like, there's no other toy property book that's as important. I mean, it literally, you know, one of our stretch goals is people add your story and they can write 200 words that we're going to print in the book about what number 21 means to them. And one of them that has just came in, the guy was 10 years old and his sister was having back surgery in the hospital, and he had to go there with his parents because he was 10 years old. So he was wandering around the hospital and he found number 21 in the hotel, like library where he could read. And he went to it like every time that he was in the hospital. You know what I mean? It wasn't he was just a kid, you know, trying to not be bored, but also not be a nuisance, you know, because, you know, obviously surgeries and hospital things are pretty serious places. And so, like, it has that kind of meaning to a lot of us. I mean, a lot of us. I mean, and when I got that story, and I was like, I got to talk about this one because so many of us have this, like, oh, my God, I saw 21, and I'm a comic fan now for my whole life.
So that's an amazing story. And all of us in the G.I. Joe community who have read the comics, we all have an issue 21 story, even if it's a little more mundane. That's a pretty potent one.
Yeah.
Let's disregard all of us. In the comic book industry, that comic had reverberations across all companies, all titles. Anytime you read a comic today and you get into the 20s and you see the silent issue, it's an homage. It doesn't matter if there's Ninja One in it. You see a silent issue and it's always an homage to G.I. Joe 21. Comic book industry was impacted by this comic book well beyond you and the you guys and me, like going, oh, neat, and altering our play pattern for a weekend.
Yeah.
It is comics royalty for what it brought to the community. And I don't know that it was the first silent comic book, but the way it was done, it was certainly done in a way that just fucked everybody up, and in a great way. And so even today, there are people that make silent issues homaging 21 that weren't even alive when 21 came out, that weren't even reading comic books for the first 20 years that 21 was on the market. It's just that ingrained in the entire industry and in the language of comic books. So for you guys to sit down and do a short book on just that issue, the weirdness around the second printing, the importance of that issue to G.I. Joe fans and to the comic book community as a whole, I think it's neat. And I'm excited for this book. Also, I'm excited for this book because it doesn't have a thing in the back that's going to threaten me into buying a bunch more comic books.
Unfortunately, I got one page.
There is a bit.
Killing me, Josh. This interview is over.
We had to continue the guidebook aspect tradition of our books. But
thought I was going to get away with it. So no. You got me.
You are lucky in the fact that some of it's redundant from volumes 1 and 2.
Okay. Right. Okay.
But not all of it. Not all of it.
And right now it's at 80 pages. It's possible it might go on but beyond that, but I think it's pretty full right now at 80 pages. And there are the guide pages for all the different covers, you know what I mean? And the re-releases and all that stuff in there, the international versions, the homage versions.
So 80 pages. Your guys' normal books are how many pages?
144.
Okay.
What, 180 for command files, yeah. I think.
So this is a smaller book than you guys normally put out. But still, 80 pages is 80 more than most of us have put on paper. So I don't mean it's a smaller thing as any sort of derogatory. That's still a big fucking thing. A couple years ago, we were at Joe Fest. Joel and I went up into your guys' hotel room and we were looking at a bunch of foreign comics. And this is when you guys were still talking about what a foreign issue of After Action Report would look like. And volume 1 of After Action Report was either still not in our hands or just been in our hands for a short amount of time. I don't exactly remember which year it was. And I was just talking to Pat and Phil about this. You guys handed me a comic where Snake Eyes and Destro were in a Jeep together and they get killed. Was that Chinese? Was that Indian? What was that from?
That's an Indonesian.
Indonesian. So I'm wrong on both countries. Indonesian. Okay.
Yeah. It's a comic I found. It's like magazine size, and it's one story of several stories in the book. And it's like hand-drawn, but I mean, it's a printed thing. It's not official by any means, but it's clearly Snake Eyes, and you know, he dies. And, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, it's very strange comic, but, you know, I have a guy that I bought in an Indonesian G.I. Joe comics that are official, you know, the Marvel ones. And he's like, I got this thing. I was like, yeah, hell yeah. he didn't know if I wanted it. I was like, yeah, you know. And technically, the international books that we've talked about since the big beginning are going to be volumes 4 and 5. Okay. And I've actually started already building the structures of those. In fact, I was just in Portugal in January and I was like, I'm going to be here for like a week and a half. So I built some of the European book while I was actually in Europe. And I did go to comic book shops in Lisbon, and I didn't find any G.I. Joe in Portuguese, but I did find some Transformers digests Transformer Digest and a Micronauts Digest size in Portuguese.
Awesome.
And I did buy number 300, which I already have multiple times, but I bought it in Portugal. It was just the American version on this in the comic.
I was going to ask how many comic shops you hit while you were in Portugal. So it sounds like at least a couple.
I went to two, but one was not like any. It was more just like kind of books with some comics. The other one was a full-blown comic shop that had back issues and all that stuff, but it was almost all American. There's not that much in Portuguese.
Sure.
I've been to other ones in Spain, in Athens, and Amsterdam, where I've actually gotten, Italy too, where I've actually gotten G.I. Joe in those languages on the shelf. Although I never found the Greek ones, even though they're pretty readily available on the internet these days. But when I was there, that was like in the mid-2000s.
I may have one Greek issue somewhere in a collection, but I think that's all I have for Greek.
The Greek number one, I got it from a guy in Canada. He thought it was Russian, and it was the only one I'd ever seen. And for years, I was looking for Russian G.I. Joe comics until it finally popped up as Greek.
You know, the wonderful thing about these days is that it's called Google Translate. So you can go type.
Yeah, I got it way before that.
And it'll pop up as like, okay, this is Greek. And then you, it's like, oh, this isn't even really say G.I. Joe. This is something else. You know what I mean?
Did Russia have any G.I. Joe comics?
Sort of. There was like some fan reprints done for Devil's Due, I think it was. Or was it IDW? I forget. There was like four or five that were just done by fans and reprinted. And I think it might have only been online. They may not have even been physical copies.
Either way, that would be Russia and after the USSR. But during the A-Raw run of comics, you know, I think it would be hilarious to see, you know, the USSR, G.I. Joe comics.
Yeah, it'd be great if they flipped the script and the whole team was October Guard. But that two issues, that was the G.I. Joe team from America.
Right.
It'd be awesome.
I'm excited for the foreign volumes, not because I own, as I said, I might have one, but just for the information of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't have to own it. You've already collected it. You're providing me the information for an extremely cheap nominal fee that then gets to join the rest of the pantheon of reference books, comic books, art books, and everything else in my book collection. So I'm excited for the foreign, even though I don't own any of the foreign books. Before we even get to that, you know, a reprint of Volume 1, I am looking forward to just because I like books and it's going to go with your other Volume 1 copies because I have multiple copies and your Volume 2 copies. I'm very much looking forward to Volume 3, although it looks like the Nerf cover was the sacrifice in the Joe community.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to Command Files. I haven't had much of an opportunity, or rather, how about we just be honest and say I haven't taken much of an opportunity to sit down with Greg for very long, right? We have chatted, we've shared drinks, we've talked, we get to know each other, but I haven't taken the time like I've taken with you guys. And that is on me because he seems very sweet.
Yes.
And his artwork over the last 10 years went from like, hey, this is pretty good, to hey, this is kind of great, to hey, this is really ambitious. Yeah. And you guys saw a potential in him, invited him to your group. He integrated well. He's a part of the team and the book looks fantastic. Having Jamie do a cover for it is... I mean, that's a bit wild.
Well, don't forget the actual cover by Mark Pennington, a G.I. Joe designer back in the 80s.
Correct. So I think it's amazing, and I'm thoroughly jealous. But, like, I'm jealous of Greg's results. I am not jealous of the level of effort that he put in for over a decade to get him to the result. That is a lot of effort.
Yeah. It was basically a decade of practice for the book.
Yeah. You know, having seen some of the preliminary stuff when you guys first brought him on board, the beginning things, the starting point that you guys and he showed Joel and I when we first met him, and then seeing him in Iowa every year and seeing the evolution of what he's doing. And I think you guys had the, I can't remember what they're called right now. It's the pre-production book.
I believe you saw the in Assembly Required, the proof copy.
That's what it's called. Yes, the proof copy.
I called that the special edition because that was actually printed in New York because we were having such problems with the getting this book from the whole China mess. So we like, let's print one somewhere and we, you know, so we can see it.
And the command file that was, yeah, there was only one command file there to show off. And that one is pretty much the book you'll be getting. But if you saw the, or bought the volume 3, that one has actually got a fair number of changes. I mean, well, not a lot. It's nowhere near as much as the second print of volume 1, but it is a little bit different here and there.
The proof copy was the term I couldn't remember, which is why I was calling it a pre-production book. So I've seen volume 3 at your table. I've seen the proof copy of command files. I'm excited that they're on a boat. I'm excited we're getting them soon.
If you're excited.
Well, yeah, I'm excited because I get to read it. Like, I know you guys are excited because, like, that is one piece of work off your plate. Although you have the big balloon of receiving and disseminating before it's off your plate.
What's interesting is that we finished those books last summer.
Yes.
Right. I mean, we actually ended up for command files adding about 40 extra pages because we just really felt like the 144 pages that it originally was good, but it was all characters and there wasn't much else in it. So then we added all these. We did an interview with Mark Pennington. Roger added an article. Greg did a whole like 6 pages on like his methodology on choosing what he did for the different things and all that kind of stuff. And it really improved the book a lot. So that's why it became 180 pages. We're not charging anybody any more extra for that. It's going to be the same price. It just improved the book a lot. And so then that book was done in the summer. And then we added 40 extra pages. And that was done in October. To be on the boat now, it's like, woohoo, party, party, party.
I love it. And I'm excited for it. I didn't realize, I guess, part of my just natural trust and forget of what you guys do. I guess I had forgotten or didn't realize that it's been ready for a whole ass year and you've just been waiting on the print and the boat. So congratulations on getting over that hurdle. I'm curious because something way off topic, something that I didn't preface when we jumped on here, but I just thought about it. Joel was in a bookstore at some point last year and he comes across a book that he had never heard of, never seen before. And he sent me a picture and I was like, well, shit, I don't know what that is. So he bought it. When he came over to Kentuckiana back in January, he threw it in my hands. And it is Tales from the Cobra Wars, which is a prose anthology of short stories edited by Max Brooks. I bring all that up to say, like, as you guys are doing all this in one of your mini volumes, are you going to at all address things like prose books? Since we now have the classified G.I. Joe by Kelly Scoven, we have, you know, things that have gone under the radar like this. I know you did address the Find Your Fates from the 80s, but I didn't know. And I know Carson's addressed a lot of the kids' books from the 80s, but I didn't know if you had any plans to add those to one of your many, many, many future volumes.
It's still a little up in the air if we'll get to the IDW books. But if we do, it'll include books like that as long as it fits within that umbrella.
And that makes sense, which is why I asked, because I don't know if anybody other than me gives a shit, but like I give a shit. Not to put more work on you guys, but you know, you already have the framework. You already have the team. I know you guys have other things other than foreign and other than command files in the works. And we're years away from having a Skybound version.
They have to have issues before we can.
Correct. So I'm just kind of curious, like, I'm already thinking and hoping about what you guys will do next. Just because, as you said at the beginning of this, Josh, you want to spend your life now going forward being an author.
Yeah.
And you guys as a partnership, like all the other great partnerships in our community, I want to see you prolific because I like what you output.
Yeah.
Thank you. The thing with that Tales from the Cobra Wars, I mean, like, that's IDW just cranking out all kinds of stuff. I mean, you know, and that was really early on, and it's very in continuity to the IDW continuity book. Just as you mentioned, like, and Roger and I, it's like we kind of have a limit of what we can do, but we also have Like, I have the comics. I'm such a crazy collector that I have them. I have all the covers. So I just pull them out and scan them. And then we can, you know, like, you look in the book and be like, okay, I got it. So because I have them, it can do this. And, you know, just the crazy collector that I am. But you know, those books are like, when did they finish? I think they finished in 2016. So they're not even really 10 years old being done. You know what I mean? Like, you know, started in 2008, that continuity, 2008 to 2016. You know, and then, of course, it goes into the whole Hasbro universe, you know, destroy, and Unicron destroys everything at the end. You know, and so it has a very definitive ending. And, you know, that's like three books, probably. I mean, or some kind of like massive, you know, 100, 300, 400 page book, because there's so many covers and things.
You have at least one customer.
Inevitably, we would get to those, but it's kind of like almost need more time. You know what I mean? Because like this is something that is very interesting that's happening now, is like the Devils Do books. A lot of people are really finding them again. Now, 20 years since 2001.
The cycle has spun back around.
Yeah. The nostalgic cycle has reached its peak for them. You know, another few years and they'll actually be at their height again.
Right. And if we need more time, Josh, we just need to keep Roger healthy.
Yeah, exactly. Keep him out of the hospital.
I'm always like, hey, can you design this? Can you design that? Can you design this? And then he gets it done. And I'm like, sweet.
With you guys now having your own physical product, you know, are you still working at all with 3D Joes to shore up what is lost from Yojo, or is 3D Joe's not to that point yet for you guys?
I think I personally have helped anything specific on 3D Joe's. I maybe answered some questions, but I haven't contributed photos or anything like that.
In 2020, when Carson approached me and Ted Jacobson, and as Yojo was falling apart, this is really before the After Action Report kind of took over my life. He actually wanted me to help. And so it was kind of like, okay, let's transfer summaries and all these things over to Yojo. I'm from Yojo to Carson, because I wrote those, you know what I mean? And Ted Jacobson also wrote a lot of those summaries. So they're all ours as writers, you know, that were on Yojo. And then, of course, you know, you get busy making books and, you know, everything like that. And, of course, he was making his massive book. You know what I mean? And so it's just kind of like the comic side of 3D Joe's is a little bit there. I tried to commit to him, but then ultimately I had to back off because I got to make these books. But ultimately, what's in our comic guidebooks could easily be transferred to 3D Joe's. That might actually be easier than doing what Yojo did, you know?
Yeah, and I think we somewhat discussed that with him a few years ago. Not in any great detail, but I think it was kind of brought up.
I wouldn't be opposed at all. Let's just copy and paste. You know, that's our code names, by the way. I'm Copy Boy and he's Paste Up. So we just copy him. Greg is File Clerk.
Yeah.
And I only ask because I know Yojo was such an enormous resource before we had 3¾ books other than what DeSimone's. And then eventually we had Bellomo's Volume 1. Yojo was it. And now for the comic side, we have your guys' volumes. Carson has put out a tome.
Yeah. It's a book amazing.
Dan has 13, 14 pre-production books out. You can still find D-Classes magazines.
You can? Where?
Well, I think the PDFs are out there.
Yeah, the PDFs are out there. But physical copies, those are hard to come by. People keep those.
Correct. Yeah, I only have two or three of the physicals.
I wrote for almost every issue and I only have like half of them.
There you go. I just mean like with everybody coming out with books, it's awesome because they're now on my shelf, you know, but 3D Joe's is in my pocket when I'm at a show, you know, and our community is what it is. Not everybody reads. Although you know, I encourage everyone to.
Yes. It's important.
Yeah.
Unless you're in the silent issue, then you don't really have to.
I got to tell you, I really enjoyed, I haven't been able to catch every interview you guys have done for your newest guide, but I did catch the Talking Joe's one. And Josh, it sucked not having you on there, but
damn, time zone thing happens sometimes. You're like, oh, it's 1 o'clock. And then wait a minute, that's East Coast time.
And Mark is 8 hours, 8 hours ahead of you.
Yeah.
Tim is, no one is as detailed as Tim.
He knows his stuff. Yes.
And so, you know,
someday we'll get his book. Maybe
I would love to see his book show up whenever he finally.
What we need to do is we need to do like one of those protest websites for Tim Finn and be like, OK, we're going to get all these people to sign it. Have to finish your book.
We're going to have to kidnap him at the next show he comes to.
Uh-huh.
And shove him into a van and get him out to Moab, and then he's forced to write the book if he wants to leave the desert.
you haven't sold your house yet, so we got a place to stash him.
Exactly.
Tim Finn, we're coming for you.
And I have it on good authority there are no Uber drivers left in Moab. So he has no choice but to stay put.
Writing that book, I don't know, 10 years maybe or something like that. And it's probably
just as long as I've known him.
I mean, it's like the most it'll be the most detailed history of G.I. Joe. And I've actually seen a few pages he showed me on computer at one of the conventions. And I mean, it looks great. And it's just like got amazing interviews and all. But like, ultimately, if it never gets out there, then and that's kind of the thing, like their approach after Action Report is taken.
When the fire's lit, you got to take advantage, right?
So like the 21 book, I basically came up with the idea in November. You know what I mean? And just was like, all right, I'm going to go type away, design. I'm like, here, Roger, do this, do that. And, you know, now the book will bounce back to Roger here pretty soon. And he's just going to do like edit designs and, you know, all this stuff that he kind of does at the end of the books after they're kind of, you know, put all together. It's, you know, he's been a part of it the whole time. But like in terms of the actual writing, most of the stuff has been me. And of course, now we have, you know, like one of the stretch goals is everybody's name is in the book. In our book, we have, it's called Add Your Story. And so people can pledge and add their story. But we've also gotten people like Josh Blaylock and Tom Feaster and Adam Riches and Ted Jacobson. And we have David Arenas who wrote those Spanish books. So we have all these people who have written 200 words for us. So I wanted to offer to you and A, really love to have his perspective as a kid, because everybody else's is like, I found it on the shelf and, you know, or like the story I was telling earlier. And I'm like, to have his perspective of what it's like to look at that book from, what is he, 12, 13?
He's 12 now, but the first time he read the G.I. Joe comics, he was 8 or 9, and he started with the trades. And when he read the first, you know, couple trades, when he went for the third, I was like, hold on a second. And I handed him the floppy.
Okay. Ah.
I was like, for this one, you got to read this in a floppy and then you can go back to the trades. And he's like, why is it not there? And I was like, it is just for me, please. And I took a dozen pictures of him laying in bed.
Oh, nice.
As a modern child with 21. And I'm like, yes. It's something I've done so many times. I'm like, oh, this is insanely rare or expensive. People have anxiety over it. Let me get a picture with a child holding it because I don't, you know, whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would love to see him put down 200 words about his experience with 21, what it means to him. I will 100% talk to him about that.
It would be kind of cool to have him. Because he is a big fan and he is, you know, he runs around these conventions and he's helped after Action Report do marketing at Joe Fest. You know what I mean? So he is a part of our group. So
I think the only person at Joe Fest with more energy than Alexander is Josh.
Yeah. Certainly give him a run for his money.
I think it was Joe Fest ago. I literally had him running around handing out dog tags and all that kind of stuff, which is probably why you have so many of them.
Hey, listen, Roger and I both bought those little, you know, shoulder strap backpack leashes for children, one for you and one for Alexander. And Roger, so Roger and I can keep up with you guys.
I didn't think they came in that size, but
I make jokes, but legitimately, I don't know anybody with your level of energy, Josh. It is not an insult. It is truly a thing of jealousy that I cannot keep up with you.
I couldn't keep up with him when I was 12.
Right. One of the things I really like about your guys' partnership, because of your energy, you run where Roger keeps that steady line, that steady pace. And then on some books, it's both of you guys, and some it's more Roger, and then some is more you. And there doesn't seem to be a lot of ego or ownership. It's just, we're a partnership, and sometimes I don't give a shit about this where you do, and sometimes I care more than you.
Yeah.
And I love that about your guys' partnership. I think it works really well. And even as you guys bring in others to help, whether it be, you know, Greg with his portion, or working with, you know, Carson and Tim and everybody else in the community, you guys partner so well because you both fill that opposite side of each other's coin. And I think it's kind of, I think it's beautiful. I like to see it. It's why from the moment I met you guys, we were just fast and steady friends. And even though you guys have had to put me on a leash and get me to the table more than once because I can't stop fucking off and running around the room talking to people, it is always a goal of mine to hang out and talk to my friends when they have cool shit. And you guys have cool shit.
Thank you. Thank you.
We have asked A more than once, hey, where's your dad?
He's going to have me on a leash is what we just heard. So I guess my joke was backward.
Yeah, well, I think you both have a leash and it's just circular.
The Kickstarter is still going on until the wee morning hours of the 8th of March, which is Friday.
Yep.
It's already funded. So anybody coming to the Kickstarter now, there's no concern. This is going to happen. You're going to get your book. This is going to happen. Put in now before you have to wait for all of us to get it and post pictures and for you to feel FOMO and then go find it on the website and order it after the fact. Just get it now. You got until Friday the 8th.
And unlike the previous books where they weren't complete, this one will be done by April 1st and probably at the printer by, you know, the 10th or the 12th of April. We're doing a very different approach. You know, we've hired an actual printing company that assures things. And obviously, if, you know, if the books fall off the boat in the ocean, that's a different story.
Sure.
Ultimately, the weeks and months that have took the other books are disappearing.
So your new printing solution is definitely working in your favor. I'm excited to hear that.
They're just a printing company. Like, they don't care about us or...
Of course.
They care about the quality of the book and that it gets done when they say it gets done. So
I'm excited for it. I'm looking forward to it. I backed it immediately and...
We'll accept that.
The Command File 2, Volume 2, and the rest of the G.I. Joes. And that'll probably be late summer or the fall.
I mean, you guys have the train running. It's running well. So thank you guys for doing this, by the way. Just sort of a quick rundown. You guys have recently talked to What's on Joe Mind. You've talked to Joe Fest Live. You've talked to Talking Joes. You've talked to...
David T. Allen.
David T. Allen. You guys have made the rounds and you've talked to all of us. You know, you're closing this round of Kickstarter out just sitting with me and bullshitting.
Yep.
Instead of having to, you know, hard sell the book.
Promote.
So I do appreciate that.
I think the previous order of battles, you were like the first.
I usually come in, you're right, I usually come in at the beginning of your Kickstarters or right before, right after the launch. So to come in at the end kind of washed away the need to, you know, hard promote and just given us the space to catch up as old friends while also still giving me the opportunity to, you know, brag about my friends and fan a little bit because
yeah,
it's genuinely the only thing I want to do in our community. You know, I don't want to be the positivity police. I'll leave the negative to somebody else. I'll just be quiet about the shit I don't care about and the things I love. You know, the things I really do care about, you guys get to come on and talk about it with me.
There you go.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's end it here. Thanks again for spending time with us discussing toys and other geeky things. Our logo was made by Rhino. The music we use was created by Self Help. You can find Joel on Instagram at Order of Battle Pod. Jason is on Twitter at Order of Battle PD. Our email is orderofbattlepod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, and thank you for your likes, comments, outreaches, and just being here with us.
This has been The Order of Battle.